handful of fragments of me. But Jesus picked them all up with his sweet hand of love. His vision was what I could be. He took what the world saw as worthless and created a masterpiece made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, grace from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace.
I can't explain how he found me. I was hopelessly lost in sin, but Jesus could see what tomorrow would bring, and he did his work within. With the skill of a potter, he molded me in the image of him,
made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, grace from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace. Made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand, grace from our God above. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace. Nothing that I have done, no offer was enough, for what you see today was made by mercy, saved by grace.
Your Bible open to Zechariah chapter number 4. I'm going to make a comment here, and then I'm going to ask you to turn to a few verses of Scripture. I want to talk to you about getting a fresh touch from God. You know, as we serve God in our lives, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we need refueling. We need refilling. And we want to understand the biblical concept of that. We don't want to think that, you know, there's any type of second working of grace or that we need to get saved again. That's not what we're talking about tonight. Sometimes we just need a fresh anointing, fresh oil, a fresh unction, a touch from God to go on and serve God with purpose. We get tired of in the work, but we never get tired of the work, right? You get weary. We're flesh. There's a lot going on in our lives. And we get tired. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we get disappointed. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we want to choke people. No. Amen. We listen, we're human. And we need to understand that without God's touch, without God's help, there's going to be some things to happen that's going to cause us to maybe say some things we shouldn't say or do some things we shouldn't do. Or be maybe even something that God never intended us to be. And so here, the scripture in Zechariah, we find where God said, it's not by might nor by power. It's not something that I do or you do. It's not something that the church just plans and works up. It's not something that we can put on paper only. Now listen, preparation, God's way. Decently, in order, God's way. But it in addition to preparation and planning and order, we need God's power. It's not by might. See, this is not about physical strength only. It's not by what we know and what we can do. Listen, we can do all of that and go through the motions and just have literally a vacation Bible school, and that's where it'll end. And it's not just about vacation Bible school. I want to talk to you about the Christian life, the Christian experience. There's professional Christians out there. I don't want to become a professional Christian. I don't want to get to the place where I know how to say it and what to say and when to do it and how to do it. I don't want to just say, well, you know, I'm in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and I preach or I teach or I usher or I sing or I play. I'm in a children's ministry or the bus ministry. I don't want it to get just to that. See, I want to depend on God. I want to realize, and I want you to realize that without God, brethren, this thing's not going to count for eternity.
Amen.
It's not.
Amen.
We can stir up some things and have some fun and some laughter and some games, and we can have people walk the aisle. We can do this church thing. But if we do not get God involved, as we have, but we do not keep God involved and realize without God now, there's not a whole lot going to take place that is really meaningful. That has eternal value. And so here, the prophet said, not by might. God said, tell them, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. If there's going to be something that's going to get outside the realm, now listen to me, of the natural, we're going to have to get God involved. Man can't get involved in the supernatural. God can do the supernatural. See, I don't want to get bogged down and marred in what man can do. Brethren, I'm telling you, there's a place in God. There's some things that God can do that we need to experience.
Amen.
Again.
Amen.
We're not asking God to do anything He hasn't done.
Right.
We're just asking Him to do it again.
Amen.
God, do it again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Swing low and do something that only you can do. Now, maybe that's in your life. Maybe I'm speaking to myself. Maybe the whole church would need, we just need some refueling. A fresh unction, a touch, so that God could take us to another level. We've come this far by the grace of God. God's brought us henceforth. Listen, we didn't make it here without God's help. Amen?
Amen.
There's not a person here. You didn't make it here without God's help.
Right.
But we don't want to get here and get fat spiritually and say, well, you know, I'm here and I'm satisfied. Good church, good family, good life. All that's great. But can I tell you, God has more. God has more. And as we heard it, I was looking over that brother David, and I thought about what he said. Sometimes when God has more from you, He'll take from you before He'll give to you. Amen? That's right. He'll test you. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do to see what else God has for you? Now, I want to give you three things, and then we'll close with the fourth one. First thing, how am I going to get? How are you going to get? How are we going to experience a fresh touch? Brethren, I'm talking about something that's real tonight, okay? This is not emotion. This is not hype. This is reality. There's a God in heaven, and He is manifested in you as a believer in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And God, through His Holy Spirit, wants to do a work in your life. I mean, listen, a greater work than He's already doing. God wants to refuel and recharge. God wants to rekindle passions in our lives. Now, how is that going to happen? Step number one, turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. While you're turning there to Ephesians 4, I want you to think about this. When I think of God, let me just ask you this question. When you think of God, what emotion do you think of? Joy? Serenity? Peace? What emotion, love, when you think of the person of God, what emotion do you think of? What attribute, what characteristic? Can I tell you, it's rare, if ever, when I think of God, do I think of sadness? Do I think of grief? Do I think of being downcast or grief-stricken? And yet we find here that God can be in that state. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 30. The Bible says, Ephesians 4, verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." In other words, you can be grieved, but did you know God can be grieved? Now, what is grief? Well, this word, I looked it up, the word grief, sorrow, to make sorrowful, to become, to bring grief, to cause grief. Grieve not. Don't make God sorrowful. You know, there's sections in the scripture where the Bible says God is rejoicing. I think of the Lord Jesus when he's given the parable there in Luke 15. He says, "Rejoice what? With me, for my sheep hath come home." He was lost. Rejoice with me. That means he's rejoicing. Jesus rejoicing. He wants us to rejoice. But here the Bible says we don't want to cause God to grieve. Now, that generation that we were looking at this morning, in the days of Noah, God said, "It grieved me that I've made man." He was grieved of this lifestyle and what man was involving themselves in. It grieved God. And here the Bible says to believers, now look at it, to believers, don't you grieve God. Don't cause God to be sorrowful. You see, if we're going to get a fresh touch from God, we're going to have to take this and flip it. We're going to have to learn that there's just certain things that grieves God. And when God is grieved in our lives, we're going to lose that closeness. We're going to lose that special closeness that we have walking with God, because we grieve him. We make his heart heavy. We make him sorrowful. When God says that we're to abstain from things and we go headlong anyway, that grieves God. How many parents do we have in the building tonight? Raise your hand if you're a parent. Raise it real high. You ought to be proud. Amen. All right. That's a great thing. A lot of parents in the building tonight. That's good. You know how it feels when your children, you know that they have deliberately. Now listen, there's one thing to disobey. Okay. It's one thing to ignorantly disobey through a lack of knowledge or youthful inexperience to do something in that mindset. That causes some grief. But when you know that your child has deliberately gone against your wishes, yeah, you're going to correct them for it, but that doesn't stop the fact that it causes you grief, that your child has gone deliberately against your word. They have gone against your teaching. They have gone against your rule, your guideline. It grieves your heart as a parent. Can I tell you, God gets grieved. Now, how are we going to get a fresh touch? We're going to have to realize that God is concerned about the way we live. God is concerned about the decisions that we make. And brethren, it's not just, listen, don't just think that it's the big thing. See, every believer, now listen to me, every Christian possesses the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9 says, he's none of his. So now if you're saved, from the youngest one here to the eldest one here, the Spirit of God lives in you. And the Spirit of God will guide your life, and the Spirit of God is wanting to produce his fruit in your life. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Listen to me now. When he's not grieved. Did you get that? See, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, is being produced in my life when I'm not grieving the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not only love, joy, and peace, but the Bible goes on to say that it's long-suffering and gentleness and goodness when he's not being grieved. When I'm not grieving him, he's producing his fruit in my life. But when I'm grieving him, oh, listen, that breaks fellowship and it grieves God. And the fruit of God's Spirit is not being produced in our hearts and lives. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, and peace when he's not being grieved. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness when he's not being grieved. Faith, meekness, and temperance when he's not being grieved. You see, when the Spirit of God has his way, and our hearts are fertile and our lives are fruitful, the Spirit of God is producing that fruit in our lives. And we are emanating. Listen, we are resonating from our lives the person of Jesus Christ and the testimony of God's kingdom. And God works in that environment. God works in that environment. God gives strength. God gives ability. God gives what we need. But when we're grieving God, when we're grieving the Holy Spirit, and he can't be grieved. Listen, look at verse 30 again. The Bible says, don't do it. That means he can be grieved. As a believer, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't cause God to be sorrowful with your decision making. Don't cause God to be grieved because of your actions. How? Sin grieves God. You say, well, preacher, we're all sinners. But God said we ought to confess our sin. I can't tell you how important it is. This is simple. But it's so important that I'm going to keep repeating it. Keep short accounts with God. Don't go for days without confessing your sin. You sin, confess your sin. So I'm going to wait till I go to bed to confess my sin. That's not what the Bible teaches. You confess your sin when you get, listen, when God convicts you of sin in your life, confess it. Amen. Confess it. Sometimes it might be good just to pull over on the side of the road and confess your sin. Amen. See, I want to be sensitive to God. I don't want that fellowship with God to be broken for any length of time. Well, I realize God's Holy Spirit is sensitive, brethren. Still, small voice. And when God speaks, we need to listen and act. Grieve. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what happens when the Holy Spirit is grieved in your life? No joy. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And when the Spirit of God is grieved, that fruit is not being produced. And that's why there's a lot of Christians that have no joy. No joy. Why? Grief. When the Spirit of God is grieved, the joy of the Lord cannot be in that heart. Now listen, I'm not saying that there can't be grief and joy for other reasons. I'm talking to you tonight about just grieving the Holy Spirit through your action, through your life, through your lifestyle. Grief. No joy. No peace. No burden. No burden. Why do Christians have no burden? Why can you talk to some Christians? I remember one time me and Pastor David were working on a job, and we were talking about God's men and preaching and soul winning and getting saved and serving God. And the question was asked to a man who said he was a Christian, what do you think about that? He said, I can take it or leave it. Hey, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with somebody like that. I said there's something wrong with somebody who said they can take or leave the things of God. Something wrong with that. Brother, I got to have him. Amen. I'm like that songwriter. I need thee every hour. I need God working in my life and working through and with me. How about you? No burden, no hunger. People just stay out of church, don't want to come and get fed, don't want to come to Sunday school, don't want to study their Bible, don't want to read, listen, no hunger. The Bible said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Why is there no hunger? Why is the people that among the people of God now have got this mindset, I can take it or leave it? I'll tell you why. They're grieving the Holy Spirit. We need a fresh touch, brethren. When we've gotten to that place to where we can take it or leave it, oh my, there's something wrong. There's something amiss, and we need God to help us. We've grieved God's Holy Spirit, and we need that fresh touch. We need that fresh anointing from God, right? Grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, take your Bible and turn over, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. How can you, how can I, how can we experience a fresh touch from God? Well, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit now. And he can be grieved. He's sensitive. The word grieve, to do hurt, to bring grief, to cause sorrow. But now here, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse number 19 if you would. Quench not the Spirit. Need a fresh touch. When we lose that edge, now listen now, when we lose that edge, and we're not as passionate as we once were, and we get to that place to where it's kind of ho-hum and humdrum, and we need God to be fresh to us, it could be that we've grieved the Holy Spirit, and we've allowed things to slip into our lives. And brethren, it can happen now. Okay, you say, oh, now, preacher, we're good Christians. I have no doubt about that. But things can slip into our lives. There's an enemy. He's looking for a crevice. He's looking for an opening. And he wants to get in. All right? And he wants to cause us to walk in disobedience and to walk in a direction that is not the direction that God wants us to go in. And God is sensitive now. God is very sensitive. God's Holy Spirit. Notice what the scripture said there in verse number 19. Quench. This is picturing the Spirit of God as a fire. And that word means smother. Don't smother out. Don't quench this fire, the Spirit. Don't quench him. Why? He's sensitive. He's sensitive. Don't you think God's going to bulldoze through your life? See, some people have this picture that God's just going to bulldoze in and grab you up and make you do what you're going to do. No, God's sensitive. The Bible says draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. He's sensitive. So how do you not quench the Holy Spirit? Do what he says. The Spirit of God says yes, don't say no. The Spirit of God says no, don't say yes. The Spirit of God says now, don't say later. Come on now. The Spirit of God says give, give. The Spirit of God says go, go. The Spirit of God says you need to tell that person about Jesus, go tell them about Jesus. I can't tell you how many times in my life that I have done what the Spirit of God said, and sometimes we don't really understand what's going on, but when we obey God, brethren, it's always the right thing to do. Amen. And there's been times that I didn't do what the Spirit of God said, and I tell you, the rest of my day was just why, you know, you feel like I can't get that moment back. I can't get that moment back. See, there's a still small voice that will lead us all along the way. Now, how am I going to walk in the Spirit and be obedient to the Holy Spirit if I'm not listening to what he says? The Spirit of God will lead us. We need to be sensitive to what he says, the impressions he makes on our life. So we need a fresh touch. How do we lose that edge? How do we lose that passion, that burden? Because we begin to grieve God by doing what he said not to do and not doing what he says to do. And we begin to not listen to his voice. Still small voice of the Holy Spirit will tell you and I exactly what to do. It's not that God's quit speaking, brethren. We as his people have quit listening. God still speaks. He does. Listen, I don't have to. My preaching just comes, okay? I don't plan on getting animated. It just happens. I could get up here and just talk to you. It might put you to sleep. But I'm going to tell you what. God's Holy Spirit won't put you to sleep. God's not going to scream in your ear. God's going to speak right down here in your heart. He's going to tell you exactly what you need. What you need to do, how you need to do it, and when you need to do it. If you'll listen to him. Are you listening to him? Are you? When God says do it, are you doing it? Are you going where God says go? Are you doing what God says do? See, God will tell you. He'll tell you. He will. And when we do not hearken to the voice of God, it quenches the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. Now listen to me. And I know them. And they follow me. Now, you say, preacher, how can I tell when God's speaking to me and when it's just my conscience or when it's another voice speaking to me? I'll tell you how. If you're a father here, you can be two rooms in the other rooms in your house, and there can be three, four, five, half a dozen, a dozen men. When you speak, your children hear your voice. You say, how do you know? Been there, done that. Right? You know daddy's voice, children? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, you know daddy's voice. We know our father's voice too. It's not that we don't know his voice. Sometimes we're not listening. We're hearing, but we're not following through. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you get a fresh touch? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Do what God says to do. Don't think that God takes these things lightly. We live in a day where folks think, well, you know, God doesn't care. Yes, God does care. Well, that doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. You say, well, what in that book is God concerned about? All of it. Amen. All of it. And so God wants me to live by these precepts. God wants me to bring myself in submission, in line to the teaching of His Word. He wants you to do it. And when I do not, that grieves God. And it takes that edge. It takes that passion, that fire that burns. Then you have quenching the Holy Spirit. God tells you to do something, you say, I better not do that. What will they think if I do that? We need to be concerned about what God thinks, not what they think. See, that's our problem sometimes. Am I right? We're concerned about what others think more than what God thinks. So don't quench the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Don't squelch His voice out now. Listen, don't grieve Him. Don't smother Him. I tell you, the world's a loud place. There's a lot of voices out there. But there's one voice that you need to be particularly honed in on. And I need to be particularly honed in on. And that is the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. I remember when I was first saved, I was running to everybody. Is this wrong? Is this wrong? I didn't know what was right and wrong. Amen. I basically grew up on the street. And I wanted to do the right thing. And I'm glad for the day when a man finally sat me down and said, I'm going to tell you what's wrong. What God says is wrong. Quit asking me what's right and wrong. Ask God what's right and wrong. Amen? God will tell you what's right and wrong. He will. Then I found out a lot of things I didn't want to know what was right and wrong. I was hoping I'd find somebody to tell me what was wrong was right. And so a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll be trying to find somebody to agree with us instead of agree with God and do what God said. So be careful now. Be careful. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Turn to Galatians just for a moment, chapter 5. How can we get that fresh touch? Sometimes we become comfortable and we think, well, you know what? This is just a small thing. It's just this movie just has a half a dozen cuss words. Just a half a dozen. This is not heavy metal, it's just light rock. It's not hard rock, it's light rock. You ever been hit with a light rock? Right? Hey, listen. Little by little, things slip in, and we take a step back, and a step back, and a step back. And then before long, it's hard. I mean, that voice is faint because we didn't far removed ourselves from the closeness of our walk with God. And it doesn't take long now. It's a little here and a little there. Very few people like you folks, like what's a part of this church, just go running, jumping over the precipice into sin. It's little by step by step. Am I right? Step by step. Little step back. Get comfortable there. Little step back. Won't be long now. Won't be long. You'll be out of the room. It starts out by what you don't do. Or what you do. I'm sorry. Right? I've experienced this. It's what you do. You do things that God says not to do, and before long you won't be doing what God says to do. Right? You with me? God says win souls. You don't have to do some things that God says not to do long before you won't be doing what God said to do and you won't be winning souls. You lose stuff. We need that fresh touch. Why? Because we can become professional Christians. I'm going to show you here in just a moment. Look at what Galatians chapter 5 here teaches. Look, if you would, in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk step by step. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Get God's leadership on it. Get God's mind on it. Do what God says. Walk in the Spirit. There's a continuation here. When God says take that step, take that step. When God says go in that direction, go in that direction. When God says do this, do this. You say, preacher, this is simple stuff. Oh, I know. We've got to get the simple stuff down. See, this is where it's at right here. Walk in the, it's so simple that we're not doing it. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Quenching the Holy Spirit. Going through the motions. Just going through the mechanical. Walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then you got to walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, if you look over here in verse number 25, you'll find yourself living in the Spirit. See? That walk will turn into a way of life. And we can live in the Spirit. But you can't quench Him. You can't grieve Him on a continuous, regular basis and walk in Him. So you got to be obedient. You got to hear what He says. You got to do what He says. The Holy Spirit, I'm talking to you about the person that lives inside of you. He's been with you all day. The Holy Spirit of God has been with you all day long. He went to bed with you last night. He did. He's with you at all times. And He wants to guide our lives. He wants to take us in the direction that God has for His will in our lives. And if we're not careful, we'll grieve Him and quench Him. And we'll miss what God has for us because we're not walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit. Now, how are we going to do that? Let's bring this to a close, all right? Before we do, I want to remind you, we're going to turn to a scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, not now. Where God instructed the Apostle Paul, He said, I want you to write that church there, and I want you to tell them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I find this very interesting. I want you to write that church at Ephesus and tell them to be filled with the Spirit. Why? Well, I think I know a big part of the reason why. All right? Because they started out on fire. I mean, they were on fire. But then little by little, they began to back up and back off. And what used to be important to them was no longer important to them. Because what used to be important to them was important to God. But then they became professional Christians. That has killed more churches and more biblical institutions of anything I know. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. And we'll read a little something about this church at Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, we have a church that started out on fire. Man, they were doctrinally sound. They were straight. They were on fire. They were doing work for God. I mean, you name it, they had it going on. A zeal, a burden. Serving God. And then, they just started plugging things in. We got this. And they lost something. They lost what it takes to keep your passion. Now listen to me, brethren. They lost it. And you don't want to lose it. Because once you lose it, it's difficult to get back to that place. What happened to them? Notice if you would, Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1, and to the angel of the church of Ephesus. Just a moment, we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Don't turn there now. We're going to read where Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, church at Ephesus. It's important that you not lose your edge, that you walk in the Spirit, that you're filled with the Spirit. To the church at Ephesus in chapter 2 of Revelation, verse number 1, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst, right in the middle of the church, is Jesus, right there at Ephesus, right in the middle, right in the midst of the church. He's speaking to you. He said, I know thy works. Man, there it is. Listen, they got vacation Bible school, missions conference, revival meeting. Man, they've got junior camps, teen conferences. Man, they got it going on at the church at Ephesus. On fire. I know thy works, thy labor. You don't have to twist their arm to get involved in vacation Bible school. They sign up down there at the church at Ephesus. Have a work day. You don't, listen, you don't have to coerce and plead and bargain. They sign up. Why? Because they love God. They love Jesus. They want to do what's right. They want to serve Him. Labor. Right? On fire. I know these things, he said. Thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars, and hast borne, which means they persevered. All right? Tough times came, but they just kept on for God, kept on for Christ. They didn't give up. They borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Sounds like a good work to me. Amen? However, somewhere along the way, they just kind of got adjusted, kind of like machinery, right? This is what we do. It's just the way we do it. This is what we do. We just plug in things and things just go on as usual. And Jesus said, I've got a problem with you. Verse number 4, he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. You've lost your passion. You no longer do it out of love. You do it out of duty. You just do it because it's the thing to do. You're just kind of going through the motions. Right? It can happen. That can happen. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone tonight that you're right here. You're in church tonight. You say, preacher, why are you saying we're here tonight? I understand that. Why are you here? So, well, it's got on the church sign 6 o'clock. I hope it's deeper than that. It's just what we do on Sunday night. Okay. You ought to be here because you love Jesus tonight. You love Jesus. You fired up about vacation Bible school? I am. Why? Well, the kids are going to have fun time. That's okay. Well, we got all kinds of things lined up. That's good. But we ought to be fired up about vacation Bible school because we love Jesus. Amen. It's vacation Bible school. Going to run them buses, Brother David. Got a good, strong bus ministry. Good people working the bus ministry. Why are you working the bus ministry? Why do we run these buses? Well, you know, it's a thing to do, preacher. Good churches have bus ministries. And we want to bring them in. That's good. Got to get them in. Got to get out there where they are and bring them in. Why? Well, you know, I've always been a part of the bus ministry. I've never been a part of a church that didn't have a bus ministry, you say. Well, that's good and well. But that ought not be why we do bus ministry. We'll do bus ministry because we love Jesus. You lose that love, that passion. We just go through the motions. And that can happen in your life. As a matter of fact, it's probably happened to every one of us already in our Christian experience, to where we're just kind of running on empty. Reminds me of the story I read this past week. There was an elderly lady who had just shortly been widowed, and her husband took care of all the mechanical needs in her car, and she was out driving one day and the car quit. And so somebody passed by and said, ma'am, can I help you? She said, well, my car's just quit. He said, well, I'd like to take a look at it for you. He took a look. And I mean, he checked everything. Then he said, ma'am, do you mind if I get in your car and see what's going on here? And she said, yeah. And he got in her car and the fuel gauge was on empty. He got out and checked a few things. He said, ma'am, he said, your car is out of gas. That's why it's not running. She said, well, would it hurt if I drove it that way? You know, there's a lot of people that are running on empty, and they don't realize that's why they no longer have joy. That's why they have no burden. That's why they're not excited about the things of God. You're running on empty. You need a refilling. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll close there. Ephesians 5, this is where it's at, brethren. I can't express to you how important this is. Glad day in my life that I learned from a good man of God. Dale Freeman, You are a leaky vessel. And you need a continuous filling. You need to be recharged and refilled constantly and continuously. You need to keep short accounts with God, and you need to let God's Holy Spirit fill you. You just got to empty yourself of yourself and get full up with God. Amen? Amen. What about you? You're filled with something. What is it tonight? What is it? The world? Hollywood? The world's music? The world's way? Your way? Or God's way? Some people are so full of themselves, they'll never be full of the Spirit. And those people will never accomplish what God has for their life. And God has great things for folks, brethren. See, I'm excited about good, but I don't get overly excited about good. I don't. Listen, I'm not making myself out to be anything I'm not. I am what I am by the grace of God. But God got me to the place a few years back that I understood the difference between good and evil, right? Good and bad. I'm at that place where it's good or better. But I know God has a place for me where it's better or best. God has that place for every person. There's a place in God, I'm telling you. You don't have to make every decision on good and bad. What about good and better? And can I tell you that if we'll walk in the Spirit and we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, God has better or best. That doesn't mean all good things are happening. Sometimes what God keeps from us is best for us. Say amen with me now. Amen. See, don't get me wrong what I'm saying. I'm saying that God knows what's best, and if we'll let Him have His way in our lives, God's best will be accomplished in our lives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You want to live this life? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And we could just keep right on going. You want to live this life? You got to be filled with God's Spirit. How do you get filled with God's Spirit? You got to quit grieving the Holy Spirit. How do you get that fresh touch? That oomph that you once had, amen? That little pickup. You got to quit quenching the Holy Spirit. God says, go tell that man about me. You stop what you're doing and go tell that man about him. Listen to what God says. It's always right. There's probably not a person in here that if I ask you to, you could stand up. If you've been saved for any length of time now, you could stand up and you could tell us, preacher, one time God told me to go tell this person about him. And I told this person, and I had just a sweet peace come over me like I've few times in my life experienced. How many of you know what I'm talking about? God told you, go tell that person right there. You've never seen this person in your life. You ever went up to tell somebody, God said, go tell them. I don't know. And you fought it, got all the way out to your vehicle. Now, you're in a store, get all the way out to your vehicle, and God said, hey, you didn't tell that person. I told you to tell that person. I'll tell the next person. Lord, no, I want you to tell that person. Amen? So you get back out, and you go back in there, and you say, excuse me, sir. I got to tell you, the Lord impressed upon my heart to talk to you, and that person just absolutely melts in your hands. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? They can't believe that you come to them because they were either praying for or talking. They needed somebody to come and speak to them and help them in a spiritual way. And God sent you. And when you say yes, there's nothing like it. But now when you say no, we're missing the blessing, but we're also robbing someone else of one. We're grieving God. What about you tonight? What about it? You got that edge, that spark? You still got that, what they call that pep in your step when it comes to serving Jesus? Amen? You still go to bed a little, you know, on Saturday night, just a little fired up and charged up about church on Sunday morning? What about it? Get up, looking forward to church service? Or you just say, oh man, you know, well, it's time to go, load them up. Got to go to church tonight, got to go, you know. Gotta go. No. If that's the case, and listen, we've all been there now. If that's the case, you need a fresh touch from God. You need to evaluate your life and let God do something in your heart. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Him. If you're going to serve Him with gladness. Let's all stand. How are you going to experience that little touch? That needed anointing that we need to serve God. Well, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve Him. We don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. We want to walk in the Spirit. We don't want to become just going through the motions, you know. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Wednesday prayer meeting. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday prayer meeting. Missions conference, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, vacation. No. We need a spark, right? Fresh feeling. When's the last time? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit right now? You either are or you're not. Right? You either are or you're not. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you're willing to walk out of here tonight not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're in a bad place. And I'm serious. That's a bad place. You're going to go out in this world in which we live not filled with the Holy Spirit? God, help us. I need to be filled with God's Spirit. I'm afraid of myself. My worst enemy is me. And I need God to fill me so that I won't do something stupid. I need God to protect me. How about you? Let's bow our heads together.